Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:21 Pacific Standard Time. Well, today what we had in markets was a pretty steady environment. Well, starting out, really the most important thing happening was in China. And what you have there is that now we have an opening date for the connection between the Hong Kong and Shanghai stock exchanges to open up. Well, the Hong Kong authorities had signaled more than a few weeks ago that they were ready to go and that they were waiting for the green light from China. And, well, we got that today. It's going to be opening up next Thursday. So that's very positive. Well, let's just review some of the reasons for why that is positive. Well, on the one hand, it's going to allow a much freer hand for foreign investors to invest in the Shanghai stock market. So that alone is, that opens up a considerable gateway for literally hundreds of billions of dollars to move into the Chinese stock market. Well, considering that it is one of the least or the most undervalued stock markets on earth, then you'd have to think that that's going to inflate asset prices. So definitely that is a major catalyst and something that we've been waiting for, that the market has needed some sort of catalyst, and well, this is it. That you don't get bigger catalysts than that. Well, that's really important. What we saw today was that Hong Kong was up by about 0.8%, but actually off its high, that it opened up and closed down on the day, but because it had gapped higher, that it was above Friday's close. Well, it's not the most emphatic sort of move that you would expect, but well, the A-share market was really very emphatic indeed. And what you're seeing is a number of the really big cap A-shares are starting to move now. Well, the discount between the A shares and the H shares, or well, I guess the premium, has contracted quite considerably in the last few months. Well, I think they were probably waiting for that to contract before they would start the connection. But what it means is that this is really only the beginning. Well, China is diversifying its risk, that it's allowing foreign investors in, that it's going to open up the capital account. Well, that's all very, very positive. But the other side of this equation is that it is going to allow Chinese investors invest abroad via Hong Kong. Well, that's particularly bullish, particularly for those Chinese companies that aren't listed on the mainland, the ones that would be listed either in Hong Kong or potentially in the US. Well, among those would be Tencent in Hong Kong, but Alibaba or Baidu in the US are also pretty good examples. Well, they're all looking pretty positive at present. Although you do have a developing overbought condition in Alibaba. Well, in the rest of Asia, well, the Indian market was reasonably steady in here today. The Japanese market was down a little bit on the Nikkei, but the bank sector was pretty firm. Well, you're continuing to see a little bit of a consolidation here in Japan, and so far that consolidation has been pretty shallow relative to the size of the breakout that we had last week. Well, elsewhere in Asia, among the weaker markets was Indonesia, whereas the New Zealand market, well, it continues to price in the dividend of that positive election result that we had a couple of weeks ago, and it was up pretty emphatically again in here today. Well, it's extending this breakout from what was a relatively lengthy range. Well, the majority of markets in Europe were in positive territory today. Well, when you go back and you look at some of those on a weekly basis, what you've seen is that, well, the European markets had fallen much farther, much faster than just about everything else in that panicky environment for a few weeks in October. And they haven't bounced as quickly as Wall Street has, but they have retraced their overextensions relative to the 200-day moving averages. Well, considering that you continue to see that Wall Street is improving upon its performance, then you'd probably be giving the benefit of the doubt to Europe that it can push through those trend means. But, well, it really will have to do that you have quite considerable trend deterioration there in Europe. And, well, I guess people are looking at the continued tension with Russia, that the ECB might be kicking off its quantitative easing program, but, well, that's going to take time, and that well, that you still have these deflationary pressures in the domestic economy. Well, that explains why you had the deeper pullback for a lot of Europe, but well, we're going to have to see evidence that they can sustain these moves back above their respective trend means and then improve upon that performance. Well, on a currency adjusted basis, well, if you're looking at Japan and thinking that the best way to participate in that market is on a currency hedged basis, well, then the euro isn't exactly the strongest currency in the world. Well, the dollar was a little bit firmer again in here today. Well, it didn't quite unwind the weakness that we had on Friday, but well, the euro is still trading below 125 and the British pound is at about 158. Well, when you look at a number of those commodity currencies, the dollar was also a little bit firmer in here as well. Well, when you look at this firm dollar, certainly not firm in a dynamic fashion, then a number of the commodities were weak in here today. Natural gas was down by 13 cents. Well, it has rallied so spectacularly in the last 10 sessions that at least some consolidation, it was looking likely, and it does look like we're going to get that. Oil today was down by $1.36 on WTI. It's continuing to trade below $80 and well, pulling back from that $80 level in here today. Brent crude was also weak in here today. So, well, this decline that we're seeing in the oil prices has not ended. Certainly there's been some loss of momentum over the last couple of weeks, but there hasn't been the kinds of very well categorical upward dynamics that would suggest short covering. Well, what you are though seeing is that a number of the deeply oversold oil company, oil producers and oil service companies have at least found short-term support, and that the potential for some unwinding of their oversold conditions has really increased fairly considerably. Well, for example, you look at something like Subsea 7 in Norway, where it had just fallen, well, almost by 50% in the last 4 months, that it improved upon its rebound again in here today. Well, elsewhere, gold was a little bit weaker in here today. It closed off its lows, but it was still down $26. Well, it was only $4 off its low. The silver price was also down today and was about 10 cents off its lows. Well, we saw a pretty impressive rally last week for gold, and particularly for the gold shares, and gold shares are trading now below where they were trading relative to gold in 2001. Well, that just helps to indicate just how much of a sell-off there has been. Well, we're going to see some of those go out of business, but you're probably not going to have a really big bullish catalyst in the gold mining sector until some of them go out of business. Well, in the bond markets, well, US Treasuries were a little bit weaker in here today. Gilts were a little bit firmer. Well, the bond markets, you know, when you look at those kinds of performances relative to, well, what the stock market is doing, then it's been pretty quiet. Well, you know, when stock markets pulled back very sharply in October, then the yields on bonds just contracted violently, that people just went straight for the safe haven exit. Well, as stock markets have continued to push on and Wall Street has been pushing to new highs, well, the S&P was at another new high today. The Nasdaq, having been well very, very quiet for just about all of last week, pushed on to a new high. Then bonds are a little bit weaker. They're unwinding that overbought condition on the price. But, well, I've posted today this point and figure chart of the total return index. Well, point and figure charts are just wonderful when you have something that only goes up, because you get this just unbroken progression. Well, you can see these little consolidations over the last 4 or 5 years. Well, that's a loss of momentum relative to just how fast the index had been going up for the previous 20-odd years. Well, it's still a consistent trend. You still have this progression of higher reaction lows, and, well, it pushed on to new high ground in the last few weeks. Well, it's unwinding its overbought condition in the short term, but, well, when you look at that point and figure chart, then you still have the progression of higher reaction lows, and until that progression is broken, then we can argue until the cows come home about the theory behind why the bond bull market should be over. But we won't have any evidence until that total return index starts to turn downwards. Well, what it in very clear terms indicates is that people that have been long of bonds and have been buying on the dips have no reason or have had no reason to change their minds. And, well, as long as that remains the case, then the bullish arguments for bonds are going to remain the most credible. And I will, I think, with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.